So practically the last part of this session is about the surface SDK controls. So what is it? It's really a set of controls that are really dedicated for multi-touch, because now the native VPF controls are really dedicated for mouse and keyboard events. So they are not suited for multi-touch in most of the time. But the Surface team has provided, I think it was last year, a set of controls that can also be used on the Surface, on a Windows Surface. And really with the idea behind that for multi-touch. And especially for that multiple users can use the controls. Yeah? Because it's not, because if you are in a, if you are working with the mouse, there is always maybe one mouse pointer that enables or clicks the button. But in a multi-touch environment, that's not the case. Yeah? There you have maybe multiple manipulations or multiple events that can be triggered on the UI controls. So you can download it. So if you simply search on Surface Toolkit, download, then you will be redirected to this page. And now they are on version 1.5. And this summer they are going to release version 2.0. And maybe I will show you a little extract from a video from Mix, because they have showed some features of the 2.0, but it's not released yet, so I cannot show it. So it's only on the video preview on Mix that I can show you. So it's really a DLL that you need to reference inside your WPF application, and you can reuse these controls. There are three kinds of groups of controls inside Surface SDK. First is the framework that lets you do some drag and drop, that you also have some touch visualizations around your controls. Then you have some common controls, so you will see that things like textbox, checkbox, scroll viewer, there is always an equivalent surface textbox, surface checkbox, and so on. So these are really inherited from the native controls, but with extra behavior and are adapted to the UI for multi-touch. And then you have some specialized controls, like you also have seen on the surface, is like a scatter view or some stack panel, so that you can have some images above and that you can, like a stack, can push up or push down and so on. So like I said, there is some standard framework functionality like drag and drop, touch visualizations and hardware capabilities. You will see that the touch visualizations, this is also something that you can use on your native controls. So this doesn't mean that you cannot, that you can't use them only on the Surface SDK controls. You can adapt them to any control. No, we have already seen it, but I will show it again. Here is some simple code, for example, to see how the interface is oriented. Yeah? That way you can do some logic dependent how it is rotated, that you maybe give another UI or something else. So like I said, the native WPF controls, you have already seen it. If you all use the checkbox or textbox, they are too little to make it really work or for touch input. So therefore, first something else, we have the scroll viewer. And this has been extended in WPF4. It has now a panning mode which has a pending deceleration and a pending ratio. So this means that even the standard scroll viewer has now extra some extra functionality for multi-touch. So we will see a little demo of that. So if we go to in here. So what you will see here, we'll first show the application so that you have an idea. So here now, this is the application. Now I can hear simply by touching on the lists, on the scroll, so in the middle, so not in the scroll bars, but just in the middle, for example. I can now also do some panning inside the scroll viewer. And you will see now it also has some inertia. And when I go at the bottom of my scroll, then it has some, then your window moves a little bit. And that's the inertia thing. Also, with the if it has text, you can even you can scroll, but you can also still select if I do it right, like this. Yeah. And this is important. For example, this has to do with the panning mode. For example, for the scroll viewer, we have set this to both. So this means that you want horizontal and vertical scrolling. Mm-hmm.
Are you allowed to use the surface control on not surface device?
Yeah, but because I can even use it here in a desktop environment. So the Surface SDK controls are not only for the Windows Surface hardware. These are really generic controls for WPF. I don't know if they will be released for Silverlight. I don't think so, but maybe that's you something that you know, Nick, or the Surface SDK controls, if they are will be released for Silverlight, but I don't think so.
No.
For example, here it's still important that we can select some text. Yeah? Therefore, the panning mode on this one is set vertical first. You see, so this means that depending on what is first, that will be your behavior. Yeah? So this means that the horizontal will just be translated to mouse events. Yeah? So that's the promotion level. Yeah? So that's why we can still do a selection and even can scroll inside our scroll viewer. Yeah? And so here you can do some customizations like the deceleration of inertia and so on. But still, I think it was something like that. There are still some constraints in the sense of that you cannot do both. You cannot move both simultaneously. Yeah, this is still the standard scroll view, but we will see that there is also a surface scroll view, and this adds some extra abilities. Yeah, but this was important that you know that. Because scroll view is something that is used a lot, that this is available for you. So besides the native controls, there are some analog surface controls. So in best case, you can take your native your existing WPF application and do a replace all with prefix surface. So I have a demo of that, of this. So here we have comparison, set a startup. Okay. So what you see here is on the left part, you see still the native controls. Here the corresponding surface controls, and here again, so the native and the surface controls. So really this is simply referencing the surface SDK DLL, and instead of checkbox, we put a surface checkbox. Yeah? And you see already a lot of differences in this. Already you see a different visual style. Yeah? For example, you see that all the style, that for example the buttons, the checkboxes, are already bigger than the standard ones, yeah? Because they are more suitable for multi-touch. Another thing that is different is also the behavior of the controls are also different. For example, if I click here, if I left out the boundaries of the button, then you see that it's not enabled anymore. Yeah. Also, I can do multiple touch points. Yeah. And what is also nice is, I think it was like that. So I do this. I can even left out, but I still hold the finger. Wait, so. How was it again? Normally it should give me. Okay, that's one click. I'm trying to do a stolen click. Ah, that's the one. Okay. So what is happening? You have to be in the sense of that you have multiple fingers or multi-touch environment. So I'm clicking here and I'm holding my finger but I'm out of the control. Yeah. But now is somebody else clicking wants to click the button. If I want to do that with my other finger here, you will see some aura, some ether, between the control and my finger at the right. Yeah? And that's called a stolen capture, in the sense of the one that has now wants to click the button cannot, because I have stolen the click on the button. And you have some guidance to see from where it comes. So these are extra behaviors. What else? The same for, you see it like here, the checkbox. You see immediately that the UI really appears like that it is enabled or disabled. Then for the surface slider, so what you see here is, if I click on here, you see that it glows up. And if I do it not on the bullet itself, but beneath, then you see that it goes bigger, and then it animates to the position that you have set on your thing. And you can even go also, you don't see. Well, you see my thing is now there, and you see that there is also some ether to see from who has now stolen the bullet. And what's even nice is you can even have another one. I think it was. You see? Now there are two persons taking the bullet, and he's taking the average. You see? So this can be three or four or five, so that you have really a visual guidance of who is taking the slider. Yeah. So this is really out of the box, this functionality, besides the slider that you have here. Because here also, if I do with the native slider, you don't have any, your slider doesn't become bigger or is more, it's not so sensitive as the other one. You see, here it becomes bigger, you can do your stuff here. The same for the surface scroll viewer. If I go to a scroll, you will see that it becomes bigger. so that it becomes easier to scroll. Yeah? Whereas here, I don't have that functionality, of course. Yeah? Also, a difference. Wait, I will put it in. So that I can show you. You see, I have also inertia on my scroll viewer here. But a big difference in here, here is the inertia inside the control, whereas here, normally, you see, default, we don't have any panning support on the default scroll viewer. It's not so readable. But here we can enable it. So that's simply setting the panning mode like we did before. And if I scroll, you see the difference? Here, when I go to the bottom of my scroll, the whole window does an inertia. Whereas here, it's only the control. And this makes sense in the sense of most of the time if you make a touch application, your application will be maximized. So then you don't have the notion of a window. Yeah? So then doesn't have that. Then you don't want to have that feedback like this, but more on the control itself. So therefore, they also implemented it like that. And also the scroll bars, I think, can also be scrolled from a distance. So if I go here, you see also an ether, so that I can also scroll from everywhere. See? Then another one is the ink canvas. So this is the standard ink canvas. So this one. You will see I can draw here, but if I try with two fingers, only one finger is taken into account, because it was not optimized for multi-touch. Yeah. But now if you see here the surface ink canvas, it can handle more than two fingers. Yeah. I can only show with two fingers because my monitor only supports two fingers, but it can support more. And also, normally, that's the what you see here is the user's touch shape at the right. That's also something I cannot show here, but that takes into account the dicta, the thickness of your gesture. So, in the sense of if I do really, plot. then the stroke would be thinner or wider. Yeah. So, but my monitor doesn't support size of your of the touch captures. So, but normally that should also work. And then for the surface list box, this also takes the surface call viewer. It uses the surface call viewer, so it also has that same behavior with the inertia, and it also has the notion of something selected and or highlighted. Yeah. Also here, if I go to my list box, my scroll bar will be bigger so that it's more fluent. Yeah.
Many occasions I see a mouse displayed on the screen.
Where? What do you see?
If you scroll, after you scroll the search box, afterwards you get a mouse on your screen.
Yes. Oh, yeah, this one.
Can you avoid it?
I think so, yeah.
That's Windows setting.
I think it's in the pen and touch control panel, probably. maybe this one. I don't know. You can try. Yeah. Handwriting, it's not. Flicks also. Pen. Should be here. Huh? Now it's gone, I think, or wait, I'm going to re-enable it to be sure. Well, so you can disable it in the pen and touch options. And that's, I think, a good idea. Still questions here about? So if you look at the source code, I think in code behind, you know, there is practically nothing. So you will see here. So what is also important, maybe I will show it again, is you have seen these touch visualizations. Yeah, this is not built in each of these controls. This is because it inherits from surface window instead of window. Yeah, so besides surface buttons, surface textbox, you have also a surface window. So all these touch visualizations like this, yeah, is part of the surface window. So you can even use the surface window without the surface text box, for example, that all there is native WPF controls but inheriting from surface window just for having maybe the touch visualizations. Yeah. So here in this symbol we did that. So we inherit from surface window. The surface text box, for example. No, I think this can be used in a normal window also. So here, for example, surface window is part of the surface presentation DLL, right? From and simply in here. So we have here a reference to the surface library, but here denoted as a namespace. Here we have the normal toggle button, for example, that we have the counterpart surface toggle button. You see? So, and really I think it's like that is, it really inherits from these controls. So service toggle button inherits from toggle button. So it's really adding extended behavior for multi-touch. So just to go through to see that we have covered. So we have the surface button. So it has some three states: normal, pressed, and the stolen capture that we have seen. Then we have the slider. Also that we have some guidance with the ether, of how do we call that? and also that we have multiple touches that can be, and he's really taking the average. Yeah. That's also something I showed you with the inertia, that it is different. Otherwise it was the whole window that was moving, now it's only the control itself. The surface list box, and that we have a selected and a pressed state. And this is also important for the ink canvas, so that it enables you to do multiple strokes simultaneously, and that we have, yeah, that we have some differences in the stroke, dependent of the size of your touch. So what does the surface window provides you? So if you inherit from a surface window, then it does already three things for you. It will maximize your window already for you. And it disables pen and touch flicks. Yeah. And also what we have seen, that it gives you some guidance when you are moving around your finger. Some trailing, you know, lines if you are using the surface window. Then there are some other controls. We have the scatter view, the library stack, library bar, library container, and these two are for 2.0 of surface SDK. So I will show you later, but I have also based on a book that will come up in this summer, and he cannot say anything about these controls because of because it's not public yet. So, but these will also be controls that will be available for the Surface SDK. Now, this one is really specific for the Surface hardware. This is really when you put some object on the surface that it will recognize the object, so you can do something with it. But that's really dedicated to the surface. Now we look to the scatter view. So what is a scatter view? It's simply, it enables you to put some objects that can be manipulated with rotation, translation, and scaling. So we will see an example of that. Scatter view. I hope that's the right one. So what I have here, it's really simple, is a surface window. I have here a scatter view, and it works with having scatter view items. And it can really be anything. What is in the child of a scatter view item, it can be even an ink canvas, it can be a video, it can be anything. And here in this example, I simply have a rectangle inside my scatter view item. And if I do that transparently, without having any extra manipulations API or RotTouch APIs, oops, I need to start up the right project. I will have a lot of built-in functionality for free. So if I do set a starter project, F5. Okay. So this is my rectangle. And you already see that if I touch it, maybe you've seen it, if I have touched it, that it already gives some glow, and that it gives some feedback that it has been touched. Do you see that on the screen? Yeah, a little bit. You see it reacting. And also here you have for free rotating, scaling. Also, if you drag, you get a shadow. That's what I wanted to say. And also, again, because we are inheriting from the surface window, we have also these touch visualizations. Yeah. So this is not part of the controls itself. It's really part of the surface window. So you get all that functionality for free. So all that we learned now for translating and rotating, it's for free in the surface SDK controls. But of course, if you want to do some more dedicated behavior or custom behavior, you will still need that. But if it is simply dragging around some photos or other things or images, that's already a head start. Yeah. Going to see which. That's another one. I think that's already an advanced one, but that's okay. First, I'm going to see what's doing again. That's an example with data binding, I think. That's the one with the model view model pattern. So here we have simply a collection of images, flags, yeah. And we can also simply drag and drop. We can simply for each image, we can also rotate with multiple fingers, of course, also. And this is also done by the scatter view. And you also see that, for example, if I click on something that, for example, we have rounded corners. Yeah. So this is all behavior that we can customize. How it will shape, how the text must be rendered, and things like that. Yeah. So to give you an idea about the code for that, so the scatter view here is using simply a generic library that contains the model. Yeah. So we have here simply a collection of flags, which are JPEGs, yeah, PNG, sorry. Then we have the state model. And state model is here simply an iNotify property changed object. And it simply contains a property, state name, region, flag URI path. So for each flag we have such a state model. Yeah. So that's really simple and what you would do also in a WPF application. And then we have some kind of model factory that simply gets all these flags and put it in the right region to group some flags and things like that. But we will see later that we will use these groupings in another control, like for example in the library container. And that's it practically. And then we have the state view. And the state view is simply the images that we saw. Yeah? So that's simply a user control where we put in the image and things like that. So these are really things that are not really specific to multi-touch. You would really simply create your user controls that you built now, but then you will embed them in the scatter view. The only thing that's a little bit, I think it the code was here. It was a he's doing here a little bit of magic so that you have that animation at the beginning. I don't know if you saw that. If you do F5, the fact that it is coming downwards, that's also something that you can program. Eh? It's not something built in the scatter view. So the fact that it has that effect is something that you can program. Yeah? So these are our data controls where our flags reside and with the model view model. And then we have the scatter view itself. So we have here the surface window view model. Click. So we have simply a collection of state models. So an observable collection such that every flag has been added and that it is updated on the screen. And that's it. So that's our view model. So even no touch specific code. Then we go to the surface window itself. Of course, this has a reference to the view model to a data context. And then we simply do binding. Yeah? So on our scatter view, we set our items source to the states that we have on our view model. So we are simply reusing the MVVM techniques that we know also on the surface SDK controls. Yeah? So it's not that what we have learned that you can't reuse it anymore. No, it's are really simply controls also in WPF that you can use with all the data bindings and MVVM. But I will provide the samples. Then there are some other controls. There is the library stack. So this is really a stack of items. This doesn't have to be images. It can be something else. And you will see that it has some behavior in the sense of that the last one is a little bit rotated more than the rest, and because the other items are more random placed, whereas the last one is more rotated here, simply because you can take this one, then it becomes the top. Yeah? And if you click on this one, then this becomes the lowest one. Yeah? This enables you to redraw your items. So that's a library stack, and then you have the library bar, and it's also for organizing your items. So in most of the cases, you will see them combined, and you will see in the demo that it also has some behaviors that you can customize. And then the last one is the library container. And that's really a combination of the library stack and the library bar. Yeah? But it has some extra functionality. For example, you see here also that here the library stack has some extra handles to do some transformations. Yeah? So, but it's really, you have to see it really as something that is a combination of the two. So if we take a look at that, library controls, I think. So what we have here the library container, here we have the library stack, and here we have the library bar. Yeah? And like you see here, we can simply do panning in the library container. And we have said that we had some grouping on the items. So in this grouping can be, for example, here be selected. See? You can do here sort and things like that. Of course, you can do drag and drop. So now it becomes part of the library stack. You take one, take again. You see? And that always the last one is rotated so that you can take the last one. For example, if I click here, you see, then it becomes the first again. If I click the first one, it becomes the last again. And everything is drag and drop in the sense of I can move it in here normally. Or is it from here to there? Yeah, from there to there. You see? And here, that's the library container, and this can also be transformed into a library stack, and that's done by this little button here. If you click on there, then it becomes a library stack. Library stack. Yeah. And there you can also even minimize or maximize And you can even take it again to the original state. Now I want to rotate. Rotate is apparently not so. So here, probably I have first maybe to rotate, no. Rotate like this. Now it's horizontal again. So dependent how it is oriented, it will be horizontal or vertical translated. Yeah. So maybe take a little bit look to the code for that. So here, because we have several containers, we have also several properties, public collections, so that we can bind to it. Yeah. So here we also have some simple observable collections of the state models, but one for the stack, one for the bar, and one for the library container. Yeah. And then here, on the surface window, we will also simply use the data binding. If my computer wants. So you see here, the library stack. It's bind to the stack states, whereas the library bar is bind to the bar states, and so on. You see that, so that's really transparent. So, and that's a little bit an overview of the surface SDK controls. That's a little bit a model of how it is bind together. Yeah, so it's really simply having the MVVM model, where we have three different data one data context, but that we bind it to several properties. So that's some. Like I said, the Surface SDK 2.0 will come out this summer, and what I thought is maybe to show you a little. Extract of the video of MIX 2011 to show you what, because there is the new input simulator. What we have done now with the multi-touch Vista CodePlex stuff, with the touch box, with the multi-point SDK, well, this can all be transformed by using this. Yeah? So they provide for you the necessary tools to emulate multi-touch and even going further for doing manipulations. This is something I cannot show because it's not released yet, but they have shown it on MIX. So maybe I thought to show you. So it was 3130.
Let's do a little demonstration. and I'm going to shift to my laptop right here. Right. So we're going to create like the hello world of Microsoft Surface. We're going to create just like a basic scatter view, put some pictures there, maybe some controls, and let's do it. It should be pretty easy. So first of all, we have some templates that you can use. So I am just going to create a new application using one of those templates.
Note that we also have these templates already. It's not specific to 2.0.
Windows SAML. And there, I am going to create a scatter view control. And because it's an item control, I can just put items inside it, and it should know how to lay them out. All right, so let's...
So until now, these are things that we are still can do in the 1.5, but it's really about the touch simulator. So that is what we have done now also, with the scatter view, simply having as a chart element an image, for example. And inheriting from surface window.
So let me just copy and paste this and change the name. So we are going to see some pictures, and in order to save us some time and typing some SAML, I am going to copy and paste a piece of code. And this is just something a little more interesting, a small control that allows you to draw on top of it. Okay? So so there it is, right? So I have this kind of custom control and some pictures. And now I want to resize them. But I cannot do that with one imam. So that's okay. I am going to launch my surface input simulator. And then I am going to pick the finger tool. And I am going to see that it reacts to my touches. And that actually, the application is reporting that as a touch. And if, while I have my left button down, I right-click on the mouse, it will stamp that button, that touch. And then that allows me to have two touches at the same
that's
time.
That's already part of the...
All right, so that's just a picture of some of the controls back there.
You're in the 1.0, I think, yeah. But it only works on Vista, I think, no?
Let me resize this, and then I'm going to drop this contact. And I am going to show you how I can select several contacts at the same time with the selection tool and move them all at once. All right? Ta-da! All right. Are you excited? Excellent. I'm glad you like it.
That's your call. All
right. So that was the first demo. The second one is about creating a tank visualizer control.
So that's simply I wanted to show you that that it can be indeed some cumbersome to work with the multi-touch Vista drivers and things like that. So it's coming. Now what's next in the... There will be also more guidance for administration around touch devices, but I think it's more suited for the Surface hardware, so how you can administrate it. So it's not so important, but it's maybe important that you know that it can be done by PowerShell, it can be done by... there is some little configuration tool to do some basic settings and things like that. There will be also a migration tool. So if you have already developed some version 1 SDK, version 1 multi-touch application with the Surface SDK, there would be a migration power toy so that it can be migrated to version 2. But I don't think there is already an application built here. And it will come in the summer of 2011. It's announced. That was for the Surface SDK. And then I had some little guidelines, but I think it's are important that maybe Nick can also beam. what I saw is from the rumors is in Windows 8, that Windows 8 would be more tablet ready. And what you saw is that they are really changing their user interface. Like, for example, the standard Windows Explorer, so really this one, and not Internet Explorer, but this one, will be changed to a ribbon-based version. Yeah, and this will, these are, of course, leaked pictures, or these are not the final version. But you see already, like, that you also have here properties and list and open with. So this will be replaced by the Explorer window that you have now. And I think that's important for us in the sense of if we will build business applications or multi-touch business applications, I think it's worthwhile to think about that maybe it can be done by a ribbon. Then you don't have to think a lot about navigations and maybe making a lot of effort to make an own navigation mechanism. Maybe just reuse a ribbon control, because they will probably provide some more guidance and extra features so that a ribbon control is more touch friendly, so that we can also use it inside our applications. Now you can already create ribbon applications, but I think then you have the same expectation, because people will already be familiar with the ribbon because of Office, but now also inside Windows 8, even more. You think it's worthwhile that if you already create applications today, that you can maybe already make it ribbon-based, then you are already maybe future-proof to be multi-touch ready. I know it is good guidance, but I think so. Because you see that Microsoft is also going that way, so that everything is more ribbon-based. I think also a good guidance for multi-touch is the Metro design, because it is really clear. It's like the Windows Phone 7. So it is more suitable for multi-touch. And for example, also leaked pictures is from the Outlook. So the next version of Outlook, you see that it also matches more the Metro design. And you see that it is also more suitable for multi-touch. So these are maybe already things that you can take into account when you develop applications today. Yeah. Another example is Windows Live Essentials. So here you see also coming the Metro design explicitly. So it's becoming more and more, and Windows 8 will be, I think, based on that. So if you want to be future-proof. And that's another application. It's Windows Live Mail. You see that it also has some guidelines from the Metro design. So there is really a giant document about guidelines of Metro design guidelines. So you can, and there is even on Codeplex some styles that you can download for having a Metro look. So and there is also another one, Cosmopolitan. That's also a style that is used for that is suitable for multi-touch, because it is really clear, and the font and the spacing is big enough. So, I think that was a little bit my presentation. I had also some slides about the Surface, but I don't think it's necessary. But what I really want to show you, is this one. So the samples and the pictures and some explanation, I found a lot in this book, Natural User Interfaces in .NET. And it's a book that will be delivered in this summer. But now you can already pre-buy it and having already a draft of the book. Yeah. With a little bit of luck, I have contacted the author, and he wanted to give some free books today, in the sense of I was telling him that I was giving a presentation and using his book, so he was glad, of course, and he said, okay, I will give some free e-books, so if I will get more information, you can get a copy of this book. Yeah. It's really a good book in the sense of it goes really in detail in APF 4. So it goes through the raw touch manipulations API, the raw touch APIs, the manipulation APIs, the surface SDKs that we have seen, and also already some sneak previews of the 2.0 controls are in there. And the Kinect, it's not yet in his draft, but that will be also included. So that's all a little bit part of the natural user interfaces. So I really would advise you to go to that link, and there you can pre-buy or, but with a little bit of luck, we can get a free book, free e-books from that. And from the rest, I found documentation and resources. There is one portal site, Learn About Windows 7 Touch, where you find some articles, some videos. There is some dedicated article about Silverlight, how you do multi-touch in Silverlight. And I would really suggest to look at these libraries if you want to implement multi-touch. Don't do it all by yourself, but just by reusing these libraries. These are all open source and all on CodePlex.